Welcome to the Dwizzle Nation podcast, discussing music, movies, sports, and pop culture.
Hey everybody, welcome to a bonus episode of the Dwizzle Nation podcast. Today is November the 29th. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving weekend. I also want to give a big shout out to my spouse, who celebrated her birthday yesterday, and to my son, who turns 16 today. Give him a big shout out here. I'm flying solo today. The decision to make this episode was a last minute thing. My co-hosts, DJ Tito and D Medi, we had agreed that we would take a week off to celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, we do the podcast surrounding our own personal schedules. But I was inspired to actually make this bonus episode. A couple of things inspired me. I want to give a big shout out to Mr. Dave Sclafani, co-worker of mine, very good guy. Made a comment about something he was watching on television. He's watching the Pitt and Clemson game, where he mentioned that the Jets' future quarterback was playing. That was Mr. Trevor Lawrence, top quarterback. This guy fits, checks all the boxes. You know, size, height, arm strength, just everything. Okay, he's probably gonna go number one. He's already got, everybody calls him Sunshine from We Are the Titans. If this guy doesn't have a Head and Shoulders commercial like from day one, he needs to get a new agent. Anywho, I'm a fan of Trevor Lawrence, and I don't think the Jets would be a good look for him. And that's not just because I'm a Giant fan, you know. And I don't hate the Jets, you know, because they've haven't had enough success for me to actually dislike them like that. It's just that I don't think they've done a very good job, you know, at you know, showcasing, you know, increasing their offensive capability. They went and they got, I believe they drafted up to get Mr. Mark Sanchez. Maybe a little bit of a stretch as high as they took him. I think he went at 6, but they never really put any talent around him. I can't recall of any decent wide receivers that he had to throw to. Now you got Mr. Sam Darnold, who was also a top prospect. And amazingly enough, they're both USC quarterbacks, which I personally don't trust. But, you know, I don't think these guys have done a great job of, you know, maximizing these guys' chances to win. So, you know, being a fan of Trevor Lawrence, I don't want to see this kid's career stagnate here. But the beauty of it is, as far as a lot of these teams coming out that need a quarterback, is that you've got some, you know, lot of guys coming out here. One player who I think is actually might wind up being better than Trevor Lawrence is Justin Fields. For those of you who are familiar with the Elite 11, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields both competed in the Elite 11 in 2017. Justin Fields actually beat Trevor Lawrence that year, won the MVP for the Elite 11. And Justin Fields originally went to Georgia, which I don't feel was a good decision for him to make. Georgia already had a quarterback who was a freshman, Jake Fromm, who had actually taken him to playoffs. Jake Fromm was not going to lose his job regardless of who was better at quarterback. I don't think that was a good decision. Justin Fields also, I believe, wasted a year of eligibility doing stupid things like running a, you know, they had him, you can play up to 4 games without, and still consider it a redshirt year. And they wasted him running a fake punt one game. It was just silly. But he went to Ohio State, and he's done great things at Ohio State. I think Justin Fields is someone to look out for. Also, the dark horse coming out who's moving high and fast up the draft board is Mr. Trey Lance out of, I believe, North Dakota State. Last year, he had a perfect season, 26 touchdown passes or something like that. No interceptions, no fumbles. This guy comes from, I believe that's 1AA, same school as Carson Wentz, same division as Josh Allen. So this guy's, I guess he's the Josh Allen, so to speak, of the upcoming draft, but he's coming up fast. You got Mr. Kyle Trask, Florida. I think he leads with the next tier of quarterbacks coming out, you got a guy named Jamie Newman, Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, who I guess is the Joe Burrow. He's definitely going to be going in the first round. I don't think he's going to be going first, but he seems to be the Joe Burrow of college football, and in the sense that he's coming out of nowhere and having an amazing season. I don't think anyone would have foreseen that. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a good look for Mr. Trevor Lawrence going to the Jets. Jets, you guys got a responsibility to go put some talent around this guy, okay? I think the perfect spot for a guy like Trevor Lawrence, and I'm going to hate myself for saying this because I can't stand them, Dallas Cowboys. You know, Dallas Cowboys have a huge decision coming up. Are they going to, they're going to franchise Dak again? I mean, what are you going to do? You're actually going to give him a contract? You know, this guy's coming off a gruesome injury. I mean, I don't think Dak gets enough credit, the credit that he deserves. You just got to put it together properly. But Trevor Lawrence, I wouldn't be surprised me if Jerry made a play. That would be an excellent PR move. And this guy's got some talent, and the Dallas Cowboys have some talent to put around this guy. That's gonna be tough, because I'm going to have to wind up hating that guy if he winds up going to the Cowboys. And I think if the Cowboys somehow get a hold of Trevor Lawrence, or Justin Fields, who once again I think is the better quarterback, those guys are definitely, they've got a Super Bowl coming to them. Okay? So tell me what you guys think. For those of you who are friends with me on Facebook, or even if you got my cell phone number, hit me up. Let me know what you think about this, about these quarterbacks coming out and who might take them. The next order of business that I wanted to discuss is, one of the reasons I wanted to continue doing this podcast was a little something concerning the little fight that went on last night, pay-per-view. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones in the so-called exhibition. I got some notes on this thing, and it was interesting. Let me start off by saying that this thing was more of a presentation than it was of a boxing match. I think the presentation was awesome. They promoted this app. It's supposed to be similar to TikTok. It's supposed to be a mature version of TikTok. It's called Triller. I've downloaded it. I'm trying to see, what's it got to offer. I'm trying to see the differences, but whatever. However you choose to promote what you got going on, man, I think it's definitely a good look for Triller to try to be associated with this. I'm pretty sure they had millions of downloads, or a lot of downloads at least. It was definitely interesting here. Let me go look at my notes here. Sorry, I keep saying all the time. But before I touch on that, because now I'm looking at my notes here, let me touch on the whole Matt Patricia thing. We're gonna go do a U-turn. Come back to football, okay? Now, as you've noticed in the previous podcast, we try to keep it on music. We try to keep we try to keep the listenership universal. We want to keep it lighthearted. We don't want to necessarily address controversial subjects. But I'm gonna do it here, and we're gonna speak on it. We're going to be real honest. I want to know, this is my question, how the fuck did Matt Patricia get to hold his fucking job that long? Can somebody tell me this? I mean, like, I understand that the general manager was a friend of his, okay? So when you develop these type of connections, listen, it's a hookup. You definitely take advantage of the hookups, that's what it's there for. But explain to me how the fuck Jim Caldwell got fired after going 9-7, okay? And this fucking idiot, for all intents and purposes, couldn't fucking coach a lick. Couldn't coach a fucking lick, okay? This guy's best record, Matt Patricia, was 6-10, okay? And every single move that this guy did seems to be questioned. I mean, like, it seemed to be that he was a horrible fucking coach. Now, you know what covers up the fact that you might be a horrible coach? A winning record. Jim Caldwell, I believe, went 11-5, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, Something to that effect. He had an over 500. The guy was fired with a 9-7 record, and you allow Matt Patricia to continue, basically, I'm assuming, with the same players, and the fucking team got worse, and then the team got worse again. How does that happen? But, you know, I'm pretty sure Matt Patricia's going to wind up failing upward. I mean, like, you know, he's probably going to get a fucking job somehow, some way, okay? Explain that to me, guys. Explain that to me. How the fuck does Matt Patricia get to keep a job, okay? Now, yeah, and I'm going to say it. I want to see the first black coach. Sorry, guys, I'm going to take it there. I want to see the first black coach that could fucking have a horrible season and keep on fucking getting jobs. I want to see the black Rich Kotite. That's what I want to fucking see. Who had a horrible season with the Eagles, then went on to go 1-15 with the fucking Jets. Okay? I want to be able to see that happen. Okay? That's just fair. Okay? Whatever. Once again, you guys can hit me up. You could also hit me up at my email, dwizzlerock@gmail.com. You know, if you want to ask me any questions, you got any show ideas, you know, you got my number, call me. We friends on Facebook. Hit me up. Inbox me. We could talk. Let's get back from that because I don't want to dwell on that too much. We want to get back to this whole Tyson thing. Mario Lopez doing the introductions. Everybody was wearing black. Black was a theme. The color black. Black and red representing that Triller app. A lot of it was everywhere. So anyway, you had Mario Lopez introducing. It was good. It gave it a TV feel. By the way, that pay-per-view was only $49, $49.99, which I guess is a reasonable price, all things considered. But, you know, you're going to see in the end why this was only $49.99. French Montana did a song. I thought French Montana was just like a producer. I guess this shows how out of touch I am. Oh, man. I don't know how you guys listen to this shit. That's exactly what I wrote. This is how the fuck y'all listen to this shit. There was a young guy that came on and sang a song. I believe it was called Unforgettable. I don't know the guy's name. He did pretty good. Better than just listening to French Montana trying to rap. But that was the introduction to that. Jeez. Anyway, they promoted this whole Triller app thing going on there. One thing about this, like, this is more of a whole presentation type deal. It wasn't, once again, if I haven't already if I'm reiterating this, I apologize. This was more of a presentation more than just a boxing pay-per-view. Okay, so they and I think it was better. It was better than actually having a bunch of undercards with a bunch of guys that couldn't fight their ways out of a paper bag going 12 rounds and going the distance, you know, while we snooze fest and take bathroom breaks. First guy was Vasquez Gonzalez, 8 rounds in featherweight. Very good action going on there. Very good exchange, but these, you know, the Gonzalez won the match. I don't know. I thought he took it 79-75. He won it on a split decision, 77-75. The other judge gave it to Vasquez 77-75. I don't know what fight that guy was fucking watching. Okay. They variously inserted montages of these guys, you know, preparing for the fight and whatnot. Next up after this, you had Wiz Khalifa, and I actually liked it. He was performing one of his songs over a Dre beat, or Dr. Dre beat, Still Wiz, I guess, you know, in fashion of Still Dre. He did Black and Yellow. He did Young, Wild, and Free. He did Weed and Boys. Somebody made a comment about my man having a good time. I could smell it from here. I guess the weed smoke was definitely prominent up in there. By the way, Snoop Dogg was without a doubt the unchallenged superstar of this whole thing, man. That dude was funny, man. He's going to find himself getting more promotion, more gigs like this, man. Snoop is a natural. Snoop is a natural. He's definitely an entertaining part of this whole thing. Next up was Jermaine Ortiz versus Solomon Sagawa. Feeling out process. Long story short, did I even bother? I might have fallen asleep. I had it, Ortiz. It was a TKO. TKO in the seventh round, I believe, but I don't know if that was a dream or whatever. Blake McKinnon against Badu Jack. Badu Jack was the winner. GC performs. I don't know who this GC performs is. Who, GC? I wrote meh. They had another guy named St. John out of Brooklyn. Some of my relatives had some choice words about this dude. At this point, I'm just losing it. I'm losing interest. Okay, I was actually sipping on some Macallan. And, you know, I took a little nap. The wife likes taking pictures of me when I fall asleep during these damn pay-per-views. So this definitely wasn't the first time that I've fallen asleep during one of these. You know, to say the least, I wasn't necessarily interested in a lot of the acts that went on there. Snoop did his regular thing, you know. You know, but I think interspersing the artists in between the fights, I think it's a good look. I think this is something that people are going to be doing going forward. Like I said, it's definitely better than putting a bunch of boxers that no one is interested in watching. Okay, like these, I think they intentionally pit guys that don't have any punching power because they want them to go the full, you know, the distance on these fights, and it's just trash. Okay. Now, I want to take this time, and we're going to hear from our one sponsor, okay? And we'll be right back. Well, now we're back. Okay, that interlude was really short if you don't include the sponsorship in there, but it should splice in perfectly once we put the sponsorship back in there. Nate Robinson, what can I say? I had never heard of this Jake Paul dude, but evidently he's some, you know, some internet guy and he's into trolling. I didn't follow the story. I didn't find it worthy enough, but you know, you didn't think I was going to talk about hockey, but I'm going to talk about hockey right now real quick. And what I've noticed about hockey players is that they are better fighters on skates, on ice, than NBA basketball players are on hardwood. I've never seen an NBA player ever show me that they knew how to fight. And that's real talk. I'm not saying I could beat anybody up. I'm just saying. I've never seen an NBA player that could ever show me that he could box. And Nate Robinson did not dispel me of that belief. Oh my God. Nate Robinson, you might as well have just went in there and started windmilling. Okay? Nate Robinson looked like he had absolutely no fucking training at all. Okay? I mean, he looked like... What the fuck were you trying to prove? Okay? This guy, Jake Paul. This guy looks like he's definitely been doing some type of training. Because at the very least next to you, this guy looks like he's a fucking champ. Okay? Don't do that again, Nate. I don't know what you had planned for your future. I don't know if you got some personal business endeavors. You clearly must be out of the basketball game. I don't know what you planned on doing, but if you was planning on being in front of TV and the media, some type of gig, this shit did not help you at all. You're going to need a couple of years to recover. You're going to have to hope that some other idiot decides to take the bonehead mantle away from you, because you look like you got knocked the fuck out, and you didn't look good doing it. Wow, Nate, this just goes to show y'all. This just shows you people out here. Boxing, I know some people who are boxers and who are into boxing. Big shout out to Pete Farrell, you know what I mean? You guys, boxing is not easy. Even, matter of fact, any type of combat sports. Not everybody could go out there and do it, okay? Takes training, takes heart, okay? And, you know, shit changes when motherfucker starts hitting you. Nate Robinson, I mean, former Nick... You know, three-time slam dunk champion. All the credit in the world. You were really a top defensive back out of Washington. A lot of you may not know that. You know, you transformed yourself into an NBA player. You have no motherfucking business out there in the fucking ring fighting anybody. Okay? You look bad. You look really, really fucking bad. Okay? Remember them memes of Manny Pacquiao? Okay? Well... All they got to do is replace you in them same fucking memes. Nate, you are fucking famous for all the wrong reasons. Good Lord. That wasn't good.
But, you know, that's what it was. That was the most entertaining moment. You know, because the fight wasn't all that. That particular fight wasn't all that, but that was a fucking entertaining moment. And Nate, Annie got knocked down a couple of times. So, Nate, I'm sorry you got, you know, that shit happened to you, because I was actually rooting for you. I don't know who this Jake Paul guy is, but my man, you got knocked the fuck out. You need to stay the fuck out the goddamn ring. Pardon my language. So now we're going to move on to Mr. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Mike Tyson, one of the greatest of all time. I wouldn't say he's the greatest. Mike's shortcoming, in my opinion, as a fighter was it. Whenever he was in a real fight, when somebody fought him back, I never really saw Mike win any of those battles. Like most guys who went up against Mike, they lost before they even went into the ring. Okay? I believe there was a boxer named Tyrone Biggs, Olympic gold medaler, and he went to fight Mike Tyson. Probably got in the ring sooner than what he should have against Mike Tyson. But when your wife is at ringside crying, you lost, my man. That's just it. So, you know, Mike Tyson, one of the greatest of all time, most intimidating boxers of all time. Back at it again. I used to hate Mike Tyson, actually. Not because I didn't think he was great. Like I said, you can call me a hater. Like, I hate the Spurs. I hate the Patriots. Hate the Celtics. I used to hate the Lakers. I hate, you know, but I only hate those people or teams that have success. So if I don't hate you, you ain't doing the right thing, okay? But I got enough respect to tell you that you are great. I didn't like watching Mike Tyson fights because if you went up and went to the bathroom, the fight was fucking over. Like, I want to see a fight. I don't want to see you, you know, I don't want to see your opponents fucking pissing on themselves before the fight even goes on, okay? Which is why I always preferred to see Arturo Gatti fights over Mike Tyson fights. Why? Because I'm going to see a fight, okay? I could care less whether Gatti won or lost his fights, but I knew I was going to be entertained. And I can't necessarily say the same about Mike Tyson, but that's a credit to him, and he deserves all the credit that, you know, that he deserves, that he's earned. You got Roy Jones Jr., one of the greatest boxers of all time, you know? He was, in his day, Roy Jones was a cocky motherfucker, and he has always backed it up. But I want to back up all these accolades that people give Roy Jones for being a heavyweight champion. Y'all need to stop. That's some bullshit, okay? Roy Jones, that was a whole setup. When you see John the Quiet Man Ruiz, you know, that man didn't deserve to be. That man used to punch and clinch, punch and clinch, punch and clinch, okay? Roy Jones said, wow, I may not be able to beat any other of these fucking heavyweights, but I could sure as fuck beat John Ruiz. And he did. Okay? So, yeah, Roy, one of the greatest of all time, but I'm not giving you any damn credit for being a heavyweight champion. Not when you beat that fucking sack of garbage. And I'm sorry, John Ruiz, wherever the fuck you are, I wish you the best of luck, health, and happiness, but you was fucking trash. And you played a big role in the demise of the heavyweight division. But I'm getting a little bit sidetracked. I don't want to get too far off on that. This was an interesting fight. It seemed like there was a whole bunch of rules going on. It was an exhibition. It was a little, I kind of would have preferred to see it go 3 minutes because, you know, it just when you think the action is heating up, the round is over. So anyway, it starts out. You know, they do their walking in. Roy Doug comes into his Y'all Must Have Forgot rap that he did. Nice going, Roy, but I'm not buying your records. You're a much better boxer than you are a rapper. Mike comes out, typical Mike, you know, but it looked like he was wearing some damn Poom Poom shorts out there. They come out there, they get to fighting. You know, Mike trying to take it to the body. It's almost as if there was a rule that they couldn't, and somebody confirmed this for me or not, but was there a rule where they couldn't hit each other in the head? Because it seemed like Mike was going out of his way not to headhunt on Roy. He kept on going to the body. And Roy, in his best John Ruiz imitation, okay, kept on grabbing and holding and, you know, throwing little jabs and running away and grabbing Mike's arms, which, I mean, I guess when you look at it, the whole key is you need to defend yourself at all times. And the best defense that he could have possibly had is to run away or keep Mike from throwing punches. Because Mike would have whipped that ass straight up. Okay? So, you know, we went eight rounds hoping to see, you know, some type of action, you know, but it became clear we weren't going to see that. But they also had the judges' scorecards flashing across the bottom as it went along. It was Christy Martin, Vinny Pazienza, and somebody else. Now, what I want to know is, okay, typically in boxing, the winner of the round is awarded 10 points. The winner is always awarded 10 points, unless, of course, he's had points deducted. But as a judge, if you think this person won a round, you give him 10 points. If you think it was a tie, then you give them both 10 points. But the winner always gets 10 points. So my question is to Vinny Pazienza, what the fuck were you watching? This man literally gave Roy Jones every round. Now, for those of you that seen that fight, do you really think that Roy Jones won every round? Vinny Pazienza, you should not be allowed to be involved in boxing no more because you clearly decided not to take this shit seriously. 10 points to fucking Roy Jones for every fucking round for grabbing and fucking clinching and running? Fuck out of here. Fucking bullshit. Anyway, if one of the judges, I think it might have been Christy Martin, because one judge going into the eighth round, Vinny Pazienza had given every round to fucking Roy Jones. Christy Martin had Mike Tyson up, I believe, by 1 point going into the last round. And the other judge had Mike ahead by 2 points. So, you know, the ultimate decision would have been Christy Martin. Christy Martin gave that last round to Roy Jones, which is fucking stunning. There had to have been some type of agreement that they were going to figure out a way to make this a draw so that both fighters could save face. Because they are some of the greats, you know? Mike, at the end, felt that he had won the fight, but he was happy with the draw. He didn't have a problem with the draw. That's what leads me to believe that was in a mutual thing they had agreed to. Roy, you know, also did his thing. They were both very differential to each other, giving each other mad respect to the other person being a legend. You know, they even contemplated talking about doing it again. If y'all not really gonna fight, we not really trying to see this again, man. You know, this is like a combat versus out here. It was interesting. This whole thing was interesting. It had its moments. Like I said, Snoop was a funny guy. Nate Robinson was funny for all the wrong reasons. It was definitely good to go see Tyson and Roy out there then do their thing. You know, if you guys ain't really gonna fight, we're really not interested. You could definitely tell that these guys are older now. You know, and it was nice for nostalgic reasons. I like the whole idea how they put this whole pay-per-view thing together. I think going forward, once we get over all this COVID nonsense, you know, and everything else going on, I think this is the future going forward as far as this whole performance thing. Because basically, a lot of people were calling it like a concert going on. So, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Let me know what you guys think. Once again, you can reach me at dwizzlerock@gmail.com. You can hit me up on my Facebook page. If you got my cell phone number, hit me up there. We can come up with ideas. You can make your comments on some of this. I'll even drop your name on any future podcast. And that's it. That's it for the bonus episode. Hope you guys enjoyed your Thanksgiving weekend. Just to give you a heads up, our next podcast, we're going to be discussing and reviewing Token. I don't know if we're going to be discussing his album or if we're going to be rating him as an artist himself. He's got two albums out. We haven't decided which album we're going to be rating here, but we're definitely going to be discussing him as an artist. We're also going to be discussing women in hip-hop. You know, the evolution of the female in hip-hop and, you know, are they still relevant today? We're going to be discussing a lot of things as it comes to that. Once again, if you want to reach us on that, give your input on it, let us know, man. And myself, DJ Tito, and D. Medi, any of you guys know them personally, go out and give a shout out to them. This has been a bonus episode of the Dwizzle Nation podcast. We're going to be going out our outro music that you heard last week and going forward. That was produced by D. Medi. All right, fellas. Peace, love, and soul, guys. We're out.